JMLWRadio.com network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Striga, as always joined by Dylan, of course. It's been a while. We've both been through a lot recently and in recent weeks, both personally and professionally, so recordings couldn't really happen at that point in time. I think everybody understands that in this current day and age, there's a lot to take care of, and sometimes you'll really get distracted from the thing you love, which is pro wrestling for Dylan and me, of course. And Dylan, how have you been feeling in the last couple of weeks?
Oh, man, it's been crazy. I have to say, personally, only the Patreon listeners will know that. Patreon.com/EasternLariat. Because every show I've been hyping up something. I won't reveal what it is. You have to log in to know. But I've been hyping it up, and it finally happened. And it was an unmitigated disaster when it happened. So the people on Patreon know what's going on. Well, they don't know this part, but now they know. Everyone else is going to wonder. They're going to be confused. They don't know what I'm talking about. But it's fine. Just like when I took on Big Mattress, I'm willing to break the boundaries. But I also got to thank everybody too. Before we get on with the show, my birthday was last week.
Yes,
and everybody said very nice things. Like a ton of people came out. I really appreciated it. So many cool people. I tried to respond to as many people as possible, and there was a lot. But I'm really so thankful for all the great birthday wishes. I'm at the end of my 20s here.
I was just gonna say you're closing in, right? Yeah.
That's true. And, it's a crazy thing that's happened. It's a miracle I made it this long. Some people would say it's like the episode of Boy Meets World where Corey goes to the doctor and they said that he's defied the odds to even make it to 20. Now it's me, except I'm almost 10 years older.
You're defying the odds. And of course, defying the odds is one huge part of this podcast of the Eastern Lariat. And ever since WH Park moved back to Canada, we've not been able to do the three continents deal, which we've been doing with WH on our year-end awards. But this time, we've done it again, because today we have a very special interview slash conversation on this show with one half of the English broadcast team for Pro Wrestling NOAH. Mark Pickering is here. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? It's a real pleasure to be on the show. Eastern Lariat, big fan. Been listening for a long, long time now. So I'm really pleasured, real privileged to be on here today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on this show. So you're one half of the team, as I said, besides Stuart Fulton. And the two of you, besides Chris Brooks, and I know that's one of the questions that Dylan wants to go in first. You've been doing stuff with Tokyo Yoshi Pro too.
Yeah, it's been a busy time. We've covered two NOAH shows so far. We've done one show for Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, which was a nice dynamic in itself. And then, of course, we've got the big Nippon Budokan show coming up. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of excitement and enjoying every second of it.
Absolutely. So, Dylan, fire away with TJP.
Yeah, about Tokyo Joshi Pro, I know we listened to your guys' show there. I know a lot of people listen to it. And I just wanted to ask a little bit about this, because I think this question is going to be much more for that than the NOAH shows, at least right now. I think after the Budokan, I think a lot of people might step up for that. But when that whole thing was announced that there was going to be English commentary, I know a lot of the Joshi fans were like, oh god, English commentary, well, we don't want this. But then after they listened to it with you three guys, it's like you guys really subverted their expectations, and I think a lot of people gave you guys positive feedback. So I was wondering how the feedback was on your end. Were you expecting things to be like, oh crap, or were you like, oh man, people are going to love this? And then how did it play out in the end?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I was familiar with some of the skepticism, some of the reviews you saw from the previous attempts of English commentary with Tokyo Joshi. So yeah, there was a little bit of nerves going in. I understand the hesitation, you know, when you bring in English commentators, questions about their background, what do they know about the show and everything. But, you know, I like to think that Stuart, Chris and myself, you know, we brought a level of professionalism. You know, we did our homework. We watched a lot of shows. Obviously, Chris knows the product inside out, you know, and I think he totally hit it out of the park. You know, I thought he was absolutely excellent. And, you know, Stuart and I, we've worked together on a couple of pro wrestling shows, albeit Noah, before the Tokyo Joshi. But I felt, you know, we was able to do it justice. There was a lot of, I think, excitement, a lot of hype. The coverage on Twitter, you know, about the English commentary, the announcement itself, there was a really good response. So I know the interest was there. And I think that people gave it the opportunity, you know, they thought, well, maybe, yeah, maybe I'll try the English commentary this time. So I think that a lot of people checked it out in the end. And overall, there was a tremendous amount of feedback, almost all positive. So, yeah, we're really pleased with how it went. And hopefully there'll be an opportunity to do some more now.
Given that this really was the first time that you did commentary on TJP and Tokyo Joshi Pro, and I believe that the first time that you've been in this three-man booth also, how did that all work out? How did you expect the chemistry to be so good from the get-go? And of course, also, you've been doing play-by-play on that show, and how much commentary have you done before?
Well, the first show I did, yeah, was October. It was Quintet Grappling. That's the first time I've done commentary for a full event. I mean, I've done some guest spots, little appearances, you know, during judo commentaries, just popped on, promoted something, popped off. But for the first time show, that was October. That was Quintet. So that was Sakuraba's grappling series, and that was on UFC Fight Pass.
I imagine it to be extremely hard to do commentary. So what has been, how did you prepare for that?
For Quintet specifically, or just general commentary?
Yeah, for Quintet, because Quintet is much different, of course, than pro wrestling and TJP, and is different from pro wrestling Noah. So how's your approach to prepare for these kind of shows?
Yeah, I mean, for Quintet, I'd watched all the previous shows, to be honest, most of them live. I'd attended one in Japan. I remember it was I think an hour outside of Tokyo, and I was running a bit late trying to find the venue and things. And then I could hear Minawa Man's music, so I was sprinting into the venue to get in. That was one of the big draws for me. You know, it's coming from obviously pro wrestling background, pro wrestling fandom. It's about, you know, the entrance and all this as much as it is, you know, the real contest in grappling and Quintet. But that was something different. You know, it's 5-on-5 series. They all have different backgrounds, some pro wrestling, some MMA. But, you know, there's a massive crossover between pro wrestling and MMA in Japan. So that's something I could always draw on, something I could highlight. You had Sakuraba, Sugera was there. So, yeah, it was fun. I mean, I went pretty much, you know, under Stuart's expertise, under Stuart's wing for that one. He did a great job leading on play-by-play. So I was popping in with a little bit of color, a little bit of analysis, as and when I could. So, yeah, that was a fun one. That was October. That's where it all started on the commentary front. And from there, then we did Rise Kickboxing together a few weeks later, and that featured Tenshin Nasukawa. Mm-hmm. And then coming from that event, Rise, which was on ABIMA, ABIMA got in touch with me about doing NOAH English commentary. Yeah. And they separately contacted Stuart and myself. I think they'd heard the commentary, the English commentary, especially from the kickboxing. So they asked if we were available for the first NOAH show, which was Nakajima and Chiyozaki. So we had a turnaround, I think, of maybe 4 days, I think, to prepare everything for that. So, yeah, but sometimes, you know, it's a good pressure, you know, it's a good bit of stress to have. So, yeah, very nervous about doing the first one. But, yeah, I think we've picked it up okay. And, you know, hopefully it'll become more regular, because the first show there was maybe 2 weeks between, and now it's been a little time, obviously, since the show in December. So hopefully we can just get into a good rhythm with it.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask about Stuart too, because I know he's got a background doing Pancras commentary. Yep. I think it was on the Fight Pass too, just like Quintet. Is it good to have somebody like that? And you guys come from a different martial arts background, but still martial arts background and wrestling fandom, obviously. Is it good to have somebody like that who's more of a veteran, maybe, that you can kind of lean on a little bit, like you were saying with Quintet? Do you take that same approach in the wrestling commentary with Noah? Because, you know, what Strigger was talking about, I definitely see where he's coming from, but I definitely think that there would be a different approach to all sides of things, the Quintet, the Pro Wrestling Noah, and especially Tokyo Joshi Pro. I think is kind of outside of the wheelhouse. There are no Hyper Misawas on legitimate grappling
Sure.
shows or things like that,
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
how do you come across with that, and what's been your approach of covering that sort of more outlandish aspects of wrestling?
Yes. So Stewart obviously has a very strong background. He was a competitor, a fighter himself. He actually lived with Takada in his dojo. He was the live-in student when he first came to Japan. That was 20 years ago.
Wow.
So he knows the martial arts domain inside out. And I believe he's been doing commentary for maybe, 7 or 8 years or maybe more. Then he's mainly around Pancrase, and that was on UFC Fight Pass. And from there, he's done some other sports, some kickboxing things. I know he's very active and very well respected on the scene here in Japan and internationally. So, yeah, I think he was interested in professional wrestling. I mean, he's familiar with it as a sport or as an entity, as a form of entertainment. And yeah, I think because of his play-by-play, he just has this knack for it. I think he is able to convert to pro wrestling, I think, quite easily and quite effectively. So I think, yeah, the show's Tokyo Joshi, that's an event in itself. It's really something very different. But I mean, I think you can call us sports or martial arts commentators, based on background and previous experience or what we're known for. But I think, even in something like Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, you can use an element of the background of the wrestlers. Someone has a judo background, or there's an armbar, ujikatami, or trying to, justify some of the offense we was doing for Rika Tatsumi, these constant hip attacks and saying about the strength, of the muscle of the glutes,
It was you that said
Yeah, it was me.
that.
I love that.
Yeah, great job. Plus five bonus mark for that one. I love it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just wanted to give it an element of seriousness because it was the main event, it was a title match, and I think that's what it deserved. So, you can have fun and with the matches like Hyper Misawa, we can all enjoy that. But I think higher up the card, I think we can focus a little bit more on the fighting aspect, be it martial arts or however they plan to have the match. So yeah, that was a lot of fun, Tokyo Joshi, that's for sure.
Man, you talked about Takada. Are there any Takada stories you can share that Stuart has told you?
Not yet. No, I think he's saving them. He's saving them. That's going to be further down the line. I have nudged him a couple of times, but yeah.
But
Back when
maybe.
he was around, they probably called it Vale Tudo instead of
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so he went to all the Pride shows. I mean, what a time.
Man, what a time. But there's another legend that we, I guess, can talk about because, I've been following you and you've been following me on Twitter for a couple of years now, and I've always looked at your pictures and saw that you trained with one Satoru Sayama in his dojo, the legendary First Tiger Mask. So, how did that come about? And of course, we need some Sayama stories.
Sure. So, Real Japan Pro Wrestling. I have to admit, I'm a big fan. Based purely around Sayama still being an in-ring competitor in the years that I, first came into Japan. So, if I was coming in, maybe 2013 was the first time I came to Japan. That was just for work. So, it was 1 week come in and out. But any time I came to Japan, always have to try and get some pro wrestling shows in. And where possible, obviously, Real Japan, I tried to target because I just wanted to see Sayama in the ring, once or twice. This is going back, so, 6 or 7 years. And even then, you'd be surprised how much he was still doing in the ring. He was doing the dives, diving headbutts, and still, fantastic competitor still. So from there, I got in touch with Super Tiger, Sakuragi. So I would go to him, to reserve tickets because sometimes, as a foreigner trying to find tickets or in advance, it's a little bit complicated. So most the wrestlers on Twitter, on their social media handles, you can go to them and reserve the ticket. That's something I recommend even in these times. So Super Tiger, I would go to him to reserve the tickets, be it Yoyogi Show or Korakuen Hall Show. And obviously he's a former MMA competitor. So when I picked up a ticket, he connected me with a friend of his who lived in America, spoke perfect English, and then we just got talking. Obviously, they do these sessions, these grappling sessions at Sayama Dojo, and I spoke a little bit about the judo I've been practicing. So they said, "Yeah, come along. We're always looking for more bodies, basically, more people on the mat." And they invited me along, really. I couldn't believe it.
So how's the training under Sayama?
Well, the first step was trying to find the dojo. That was absolutely almost impossible. They gave me a map and so forth, but it's down one of these side streets, and every single side street looks the same. It's in Ochanomitsu, which is about maybe 25 minutes walk from the Tokyo Dome city area. So I was just walking around in circles, basically, for an hour trying to find the dojo. And at that point, I missed the session. So second time lucky, I left like 2 hours early to do like a 15-minute walk and from the station. And eventually I got there, got up and running. And yeah, so it's like a kind of office apartment. It's on the second floor, but there's a nice logo of Tiger Mask on outside. That's the one way I was able to find it eventually. And yeah, so inside there was Takakuno. Maybe you've seen him on the yes. Real Japan Show, White Judogi. There was Super Tiger. There was Yukio Naya, who's now in DDT.
Yeah.
That's a big guy.
He's tall.
Yeah, he was even bigger in those days as well.
Right.
So yeah, so it's basically maybe five or six people, and they're just looking to do sparring. So just open grappling. So once you came into the building on the second floor, there's a little entrance area on the right hand side. Then there's a door, and that's behind there. That's actually where Sayama was living. So adjacent to that, then there's quite a small mat area, to be honest. But there's a punching bag. There's some, you know, apparatus there. There's a timer, some little things. And then to the left, then tucked away is a shower, a vending machine. Of course, you have to have a vending machine everywhere in Japan. And then there was the Tiger Mask robe, which, you know, I'd spotted immediately. So the session, it was just relaxed. It was just grappling, basically, you know, looking to tap out, to submit the opponents, doing a few rounds of that. But yeah, it was absolute, just a blast it was. And I have to say that they didn't ask for a single pound off me. Not one time did I ever pay anything, because they just saw it as more numbers, you know, more people on the mat, more bodies. You've come here to train. You're helping us. You know, we get something from you. You get something from us, type of thing. So, yeah, I have to say, you know, a lot of credit to that, because, you know, you see it, obviously, international, be it fans come in and, you know, they're targeted in the Korakuen Hall, in the venues and such, you know, because they come in and think that, you know, they're going to spend big on merchandise, or, you know, training is typically quite expensive here, be it the gym or martial art or whatever. So, yeah, I must have trained there probably 15 times, and not once did they ask for a penny. So that was a real pleasure and a privilege, to be honest.
That's awesome. That's the first time I've ever heard of something like that in wrestling with no pay involved.
I think it's uncommon. Yeah, just a good bunch of guys. And then a few times, you know, we're very fortunate, and Sayama-san himself came out. He would just sneak out and he would put his head around the grappling area and just take a little look at what's going on. And then I was wearing, of course, the Sammy Lee t-shirt. Mm-hmm. That made by the hard chocolate company here. Yeah, the original, going back to the original days, he was over in the UK in the early 80s before, obviously, he took on the gimmick of the Tiger Mask. So, yeah, that caught his attention immediately. We had a little chat, and I was amazed. His English is still really, really good.
Oh, that's
cool. And I think he was only there for maybe just the one trip. But, yeah, his English was excellent. We had a nice chat, a nice joke. He did invite me out for fish and chips as well.
But
that hasn't happened, I'm afraid. That hasn't happened. We haven't been able to do it, but I haven't given up hope on that.
Sounds like a nice and humble guy, actually. And he's not exactly the tallest guy, but I have to believe that the aura that he has to be quite inspiring.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. I mean, looking around, it was only a small basic dojo, but you had the mask up on the wall, you had the robe there, all these mementos and stories, everything, you know, from his career. So just to be there, you know, even for me as a fan, and just to see it was something. But then to get on the mat and to train, you know, with some of his students as well was a fantastic experience.
That sounds so awesome, man. Like, honestly, like, I'm just getting chills thinking about that, because if it was like me, I would be super intimidated, to be honest, even to go in there with a Sayama, a legendary shooter. And what you're saying is, if I wore like a Quick Kick Lee shirt, he'd probably throw me out right away. So I wouldn't do that, but just thing. But yeah, that's awesome, man. That's so cool. And so, like, a lot of great guys have come through Real Japan, and like, that style of wrestling is one of my favorites too. You know, people like Hikaru Sato's been there, Hideki Suzuki, Super Tiger, Tiger Shark, a lot of guys like with battle arts backgrounds too. So, like, you get all kinds of guys coming in there. Even Funaki, who's going to be on the Noah show that you're going to be commentating on. You know, it's like they get all these cool, legit guys in there, and to train with them must have been so awesome, man. So that's a great story.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Obviously, Sayama isn't doing too well, unfortunately. The last time I saw him, it was a show, Real Japan. I think it was in December. And obviously, at the start, he comes out to do a little intro. And unfortunately, this time, he came out in a wheelchair. I think he's had some difficulties with his balance and things. So, you know, hopefully, I wish him all the best. And hopefully, we'll see him back in the ring, even just to make a speech, you know, and to update everyone on his condition. So, all the best to him.
Yeah, he's been battling heart issues too for the last couple of years. Yeah. And as you said, the balance issues. It's really unfortunate that has happened to him. He's 63 years old now. Last match he had was 5 years ago, I think. And all the best to Sayama, because it really sounds like that he's a great dude.
Yeah, fair play. Did a lot of, you know, good things for a lot of people as well, bringing him through in pro wrestling. So he's still trying to give back as well, you know, so a lot of credit there.
Awesome, man. So before we go to Pro Wrestling Noah again, I want to rewind a bit, Mark, because we've mentioned it too. You've been a judoka, I think, for a long, long time now in your life. Of course, you come originally from Wales, but you've been traveling around for the International Judo Federation for quite some years now. And I've seen pictures of you where you've posted pictures in arenas in like Kazakhstan and Mongolia. Can you share some stories that you experienced in your travels with the Judo Federation?
Wow, where to start? I mean, I was fortunate to travel to a lot of countries in those times, and you know, especially when I was traveling to countries like America or Japan or Mexico, and I would try and get some sort of pro wrestling connection going, be it if I go to a show or you know, do a little bit of training or something. So in Mexico, I spoke to a friend of mine. He used to work for CMLL, heading up their media. Now he's just freelancing now, doing various things. So that was someone I was looking to connect with in Mexico City. And I met up, had food and such. And then he asked if I'd like to do some training. So some wrestling training. So I was a little bit reluctant, to be honest. You know, I know how hard those Mexican rings are. I've heard the stories. But opportunity again, I had to take the chance. So there he was. He was driving us and didn't tell me where he was going. And then we step out the car, and of course I see a massive Ultimo Guerrero picture, and it's Ultimo Guerrero's gym in Mexico City.
Wow.
This must have been
awesome.
35 degrees as well, just absolutely melting. I was in the heat, not used to that sort of humidity at all. So we got inside, and wow, what a facility. It was literally just a ring, you know, super, super basic, nothing else there. There was a few masked guys already in the ring doing some training and so forth. And I was watching for a little bit, and they were trying to push me to go in the ring, so it had to be done. So I just went in and took a couple of break falls, jumped into the ring a few times. There's videos there on my social media, but looking back, I was struggling with the jumping into the ring, to be honest. Every time the instructor did it perfectly, then I went in and I did my own version, you know.
Put your own spin on it.
Yeah, that's it. And then of course they came in and they were doing 450s and showing me all this incredible aerial ability. But actually the guy who was helping there and was taking the session and just showed me a few moves, a bit of the basics, he's actually in Dragon Gate now. That's Diamante.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him since, actually. I've obviously been to loads of shows he's on, and you know, I knew he had a lot of talent, and I'm really pleased to see him doing so well now in Dragon Gate. But that was just a chance meeting a couple of years ago. And, you know, you never know when your paths are going to cross next. You know, I saw him, obviously, in Mexico City. He was doing some training, and now he's doing really well for himself in Japan. So that's another guy I'm really pleased for.
So how did the wrestling connection part work in countries like Mongolia and Kazakhstan?
Well, in Mongolia, it's more about sumo wrestling, or their traditional style of wrestling, this nadam wrestling, which actually a lot of the top sumo guys in Japan have got background in, obviously, Mongolian wrestling, so that's very strong. But yeah, there was little to follow in a pro wrestling sense for Mongolia. I did try to track down Blue Wolf, obviously.
Yeah,
and, what has ever happened?
Yeah, I've been in contact with him, actually, on Facebook, so maybe that's an interview I can do at some point.
Wow. Yeah, I've been wondering what ever happened to this guy. Ever since he vanished from New Japan, basically, the information was very sparse to find anything about him.
Yep. I'll have to dig that one out and find this full story.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. I've always coined the term that the era of 2003 to 2005 was the Blue Wolf era of New Japan. So I'm very happy to know that he's doing all right, at least in his home country. So that's really cool that you got to track him down there. That's awesome. And all the stuff with Mexico is crazy. It's like you can trace back the lineage of some of these guys to just crazy places. Like you were talking about Diamante. He was trained by like, Satanico, and stuff like that, like a legendary
Sure,
luchador. Yeah, so it's like you're coming into contact with all these people with Sayama, and you could trace that back to all kinds of different people. It's just the wrestling world is kind of just a crazy thing when you're traveling all over the place like that. And I can relate to what you were saying. It's like when I tried to throw drop kicks, people were calling me like Liu Kang because it always came out all messed up. Like, my drop kicks would be like a Liu Kang kick instead of a regular drop kick, so I had to drop that. So I totally get where you're coming from. And judo, people don't know, judo is so like such a physical martial arts, even compared to some of the other ones. When that's so much based on slamming people around and stuff, that is so taxing. So doing that on a Mexican ring, I'm not jealous of that. If you were training that judo, let me just say that right there.
Yeah, and I think judo actually is one of the best bases we've seen for pro wrestling. You look at guys like Kenta Kobashi was All Japan champion, Keiji Muto was a judo player, even Hayabusa did judo background. So, yeah, not in my experience though, not for me. That's not going to work. But yeah, for a lot of people, a lot of success. I mean, judo obviously it's about break falls. They learn how to take the fall, so they've got a bit of a head start. When it comes to pro wrestling, so. Yeah, Keiji Muto as well himself. He was a standout judo player in high school and college.
See, another crossover to pro wrestling now I hear. And any other crossovers between judo and wrestling that you've come about through your travels?
I would say just potentially being in judo clubs, around the world. Eventually, we strike up a conversation, and pro wrestling is quite quick to come up. And obviously, with the Japanese element, pro wrestling and judo, that's something that people like to talk about, to be honest. It's amazing. You find pro wrestling fans, right across the world. So that's
Yeah.
something I always enjoy speaking about pro wrestling, regardless where I am. And then hopefully I can draw on some of these experiences, in a professional sense now in the commentary aspect.
Yeah, awesome, man.
Not only that, but maybe you can find people in wrestling that know about judo and the sport of martial, and all that stuff too. Have a crossover on that
Sure,
other
sure.
side. Yeah, but that's kind of so cool. And like you said, it's a great base for any kind of activity like that. It's a lot different than some of these other ones. Like my bright idea was like a lot of adding wushu into wrestling, which is like totally different than judo. But like, obviously, that's so much more showy and flashy, and judo is like you said, a great base for that. So, what I'm saying is, like, if you're a judoka, you could probably beat a wushu practitioner like me up in a real fight, but you won't look as cool doing it. Okay, so,
Yeah,
but yeah.
I'll take your word on
Yeah, okay, man. Like, so,
it.
but that's really cool, like that. There's so many crossovers between wrestling and martial arts like that. That's something that always fascinates me personally.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's always going to continue forward. I mean, I never thought we'd see a day where someone like Shinya Aoki, one of the greatest mixed martial arts fighters of all time, would be here in a DDT ring, and winning titles in ladder matches and so forth. So, yeah, I
Yeah.
think it's like, people have the fandom. Either you're a mixed martial artist, maybe you've some experience of pro wrestling, or vice versa. You're a pro wrestler who knows about MMA, and the crossover is huge. I think your career, you can take it to the other side. Basically, you can go from pro wrestling to MMA or vice versa quite easily, and that's what we're seeing now with Shinya Aoki, which is just a blast. Every time I see him in a pro wrestling ring and hear his music, that's a lot of fun.
Absolutely, and while at the same time he's doing comedy matches in DDT, he's still winning MMA fights in an impressive fashion. The last fight he had on one was just a great fight that he had.
Yeah, one of his best showings after a 3 year break from MMA, competing for one championship. That was an incredible show.
Incredible
And he told,
finish too.
yeah, I interviewed him a couple of weeks before the match, and he was saying that to him, pro wrestling, that's part of his training, that he does that for fun, that's his hobby. But the conditioning aspect as well, that will help him in his MMA career.
See, the crossovers between all these kinds of martial arts are just very obvious,
Yeah,
but
you just
sometimes
have
you
to
just
connect
have
the
to get
dots.
right,
Yeah.
exactly. Sometimes you have to dig them out, yeah. Yeah, man, crazy. Well, that's part of your professional life. Personally, Mark, you've been located in Japan for the last couple of months, and you told us off the air that you've moved into a new apartment now. How's life in Tokyo under the state of emergency right now?
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, the state of emergency was extended until the first week of March, but at the same time, everything is open until 8 p.m. every day. And the cases now, it's maybe 600 or so cases per day, roughly now. But I think, you know, Tokyo and in Japan, we're very lucky. You know, a lot of countries around the world have had a terrible experience. You know, they've had it a lot worse than we have here in Tokyo, Japan. So, yeah, I'm very fortunate, I think, to be here. And at the moment, you know, we're not too affected day to day, to be honest. You know, we take all the precautions everyone does, in, you know, day to day and professionally. So, yeah, it's okay. You know, I think we're going to roll out the vaccine. I think they will in Japan in the coming months. Obviously, they've got everything set up. They're determined to host the Olympics. So I think that will go ahead as well. And I think now pro wrestling, especially Japanese pro wrestling, is just something that we need, you know, at a time like this. It's a distraction. It's something that offers us some fun, some excitement. And even in the venue, you know, it's just not the same. You can't make any noise. You can't chat. But the clapping, you know, that element, you can just see the excitement, the enjoyment on people's faces in the crowd. You know, whether I'm there myself as a fan or whether I'm there as a commentator, just to see that enjoyment that people can derive from pro wrestling, you know, that's something massive for me. And, you know, sometimes I've been in Korakuen Hall and you just sit there for 3 hours, you totally lose yourself in the moment, you know, all your problems, all your day-to-day stresses. And that's always something that I've really enjoyed about pro wrestling, is just that ability to distract yourself, you know, from whatever's going on in your life, and just to sit there and just to enjoy 3 or 4 hours of fun.
Man, I couldn't agree more. Like, a lot of people, like right now, of course, in Germany, we're in a pretty hard lockdown right now. Every shop that's not selling food is basically closed. And a lot of people have been telling me that they're bored now in the lockdown. Yep. Because it's been going on for months and months now. But as you said, pro wrestling can give you some kind of a distraction and can give offer some form of escapism. And I can't really say that I'm bored, because there's so much pro wrestling that I can watch online right now specifically. And well, of course, my friends usually don't watch pro wrestling. They have other things that they like to do. But the amount of pro wrestling that I can watch every day is just so overwhelming that I don't even know where to begin with or where to stop. So being bored is not something that I can talk about right now. Tokyo must be a great experience to live there, and of course also to work there. And you've already touched on how that came about with Abima TV, that they just approached you and asked you how or if you want to join them for Pro Wrestling NOAH. And there's also another part of that deal, the commentary that you'll be doing for the Budokan show and the commentary that you have been doing for Pro Wrestling NOAH is also up on Fight TV as a pay-per-view. How did that connection with Fight come about?
So that is actually, NOAH is behind that in terms of obviously setting that deal up with Fight. So NOAH handpicks their own commentators. So it's not something that Fight TV will arrange, you know, a commentary team. It's basically NOAH delivers everything to them, and then Fight just takes it, you know, and shares it and shows it as a pay-per-view. So, yeah, the first two shows were on Fight TV, and this one as well, there's some elements of it will be on Wrestle Universe. Mm-hmm. So just like Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, that was English commentary on Wrestle Universe. The five latter matches, so the second half of the show from the Budokan, will be on Wrestle Universe in English. So there's a number of different broadcasting options, but if you want to get the full show throughout, the full pay-per-view, the whole deal, then, yeah, that's available on Fight TV.
Yes, exactly. That's what I have picked up here too from the NOAH website. As you said, the first part of the show on February 12th starts at 4:30 p.m. Japanese time. It's going to be the first four matches. The second part starts at 5:45 p.m. with matches 5 to 9. And as you said, Wrestle Universe carries the last five matches, so the big matches. The first four Matches, including the second part, will be on pay-per-view, both on Fight and on Abima TV. And besides your English commentary, Mark, there will also be some Japanese legends joining the Abima Fighting Channel commentary, such as Genichiro Tenryu and Akira Taue. They will be joining you on commentary or the Japanese team.
Fantastic. Yeah, we was lucky to have Mohamed Yone with us in December, which was very entertaining. And I remember when they showed us on the Abima feed, on the Japanese feed, and Kobashi said, "Yone doing English commentary? No, it's impossible." He said, "It's impossible."
Was it impossible?
To a degree. No, it was absolutely fine, because Stewart speaks fluent Japanese, and yes, a lot of the insight that Yone was offering, we was able to translate and to put out there. So, yeah, that was an interesting dynamic. I've never worked with someone speaking different languages, you know, live during the broadcast. So, yeah, I think that came out quite well, you know, everything considered.
By the way, that was also what I want to add to the Tokyo Yoshi Pro part too, because I think a huge part, a huge bonus of your commentary there was Stuart being fluent in Japanese and being able to translate the promos posted before the matches for the audience, because Tokyo Yoshi Pro is such a it's a company that is so heavily driven by storylines and by emotions and by doing a live translation. This was a completely new viewing experience for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, I think that was very important, as you say. You know, that's something that goes on a lot in Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. And, you know, when they're there setting up matches or issuing challenges, you know, you need the viewer at home to be able to understand that and to know the story. So, yeah, I think that helped a lot to Stuart to be able to jump in there and to translate the promos. I think that was very effective.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, Pro Wrestling Noah, back to Budokan. This is the first time since 2010 Pro Wrestling Noah is back in Budokan for basically a show of their own. Of course, there has been Final Burning in Budokan, but there was more a Kobashi show and Kobashi's retirement, of course, with a lot of people from the Noah roster too. But I don't know, I'm not really counting that as a proper Noah show. And the last proper Noah show in Budokan was on December 5, 2010, the Joe Higuchi Memorial Show, with the main event of Takashi Sugiura against Takeshi Morishima. But throughout their history, Pro Wrestling Noah, they have had like 45 shows in Budokan. And now they are returning there for the first time. And guys like Kenno have been talking about Pro Wrestling Noah to return to Budokan for years and years now. And for the longest time, most people have called that impossible, that Noah would ever be able to run Budokan again. But here we are. Mark, you as a longtime Pro Wrestling fan too, what does that mean for Pro Wrestling Noah to return to Budokan?
I think it's huge. You know, it's their homecoming. It's a very important, special, spiritual venue for Noah, the Nippon Budokan. The venue is just synonymous with the company. You know, you talk about all the history of the matches we've had there, be it Kobashi and Misawa, the junior tag matches, Kenta and Marufuji, some absolute classics, the retirement show. You go right through the history of Noah and some of the greatest moments, the greatest matches have took place there. So to come back there after such a long time, after 11 years, I think it's a really encouraging sign for Noah. I think they're gaining a lot of momentum, you know, under the leadership of Abima. I think they're heading in a really positive direction. But this is just the starting point for Noah, because they want to be able to run the venue again on a regular basis. But, you know, you have to take things slowly. This is the first point for them. Just to be back in that venue, you know, is going to mean everything to the fans. It's going to mean everything to the wrestlers. Some of them have never wrestled in Nippon Budokan before. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. It's really, really exciting for everyone involved, everyone concerned, and hopefully it'll be a great show.
Dylan, personally, Noah has always been very near and dear to your heart as well. Anything to add to what Mark just said?
Yeah, absolutely. You could trace the lineage of Budokan all the way back to the 90s and All Japan, Misawa and those guys like you were mentioning. And it was a spiritual home from them. And then after the split, Noah kind of took over that role. And like you said, it's more of like the spiritual home turf. And, you know, to see it is really awesome for me, because when I first started watching Japanese wrestling, they were like the number one company still at that time for me. So to see them do that is so cool. You know, even, and I think what you said, Mark, is so true about it being kind of more like a phase one than necessarily the ending point, because they've built it up to it very well. Even back when, remember, you know, a year and a half ago, when they were talking about the Sumo Hall show, a lot of people, except for maybe a very small amount of people, I don't want to say who, but some people maybe have believed in them more than others.
Some people,
maybe. yes. But besides that smart person, many people were like, oh my God, no one's Sumo Hall, that's going to be horrible. They're going to have like 3,000 fans there. But it turned out that it worked out a lot better than a lot of people thought. And to see them build up to actually go in just a year or just over a year later to this Budokan, I think was such a great next step. And Mark, I got to ask you, because this is one of the things I really wanted to ask you going on here, just to take a step back for a second, never mind the company itself, but how are you feeling looking at this like, holy crap, I'm commentating a show for Pro Wrestling Noah, one of the most legendary companies, in their biggest show in literally years, in Budokan Hall, and it's only been a few months. It's like, man, this is quite a quick rise up the ladder of English commentary. Like, the first time ever for such a big show for Noah, it has to be quite a feeling for you.
Yeah, it's amazing, to be honest. I've got to pinch myself, you know, just the amount of excitement I have to be there. And I remember the first show, and it was obviously Nakajima and Shiozaki, and I was ringside front row, and I just had goosebumps. I thinking, wow, what a match I'm witnessing here, and I'm here on the commentary for it. It's really, really incredible. You know, I know what a big opportunity this is. Pro Wrestling Noah is one of the leading companies in the world, and this is a venue that means everything to them. So I just can't wait for it to come along now. Yeah, every day is getting a step closer there. So yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to be so excited for this. It's a venue I know well. You know, I've been there for pro wrestling events before. I've also worked there at a world championships in judo for 8 days in a row. So I know my way around the venue.
Just to follow up that, do you feel like, especially with this show, I think you've did the shows before, but I think this show is really, really special. Do you get the feeling that you guys' commentary, you and Stuart, it's really opening up a new avenue for new fans to watch Noah, maybe English-speaking fans that only watch New Japan or American wrestling, and they're like, man, I can't watch wrestling with this Japanese commentary. I need English commentary. Now you have that with Noah here. And, you know, I think we've already seen it pay some dividends. I know in the Voices of Wrestling Match of the Year poll, I know me and Striga both voted in that.
Yes.
The Go and Sugira match made the top 10 in there. That was my number one. You know, like in previous years, Noah matches had not been in the top 10 or anywhere approaching that. So I think we're already seeing some, you know, the English commentary pay some dividends in terms of getting new fans interested in these styles of wrestling and in these new companies. Do you feel like that way too?
Before Mark,
sure, there's a lot of companies.
I want to add that the match between Shiozaki and Nakajima made the top 22. I think it was match number 11, if I'm not mistaken. So two matches of Pro Wrestling Noah being very high up there, very unprecedented, as Dylan said, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so this is where Japanese pro wrestling is going now. There's a tremendous amount of companies offering online services, video platforms, and then English commentary is really the next step to grow things internationally. And of course, now is a time where people can't travel. So you can't have fans from abroad can't come along to events. So I think it makes sense, you know, business-wise, at a time now to offer English commentary. I know that it started a little bit before Stuart and I came in a few months previous, and it was already a couple of events on Fight TV. So hopefully we've stamped our names on the broadcast now, and that's something that we can continue to take forward. And as you say, this is obviously such a big show. It's such a long time since Noah have been there. So hopefully we can capture some lapsed fans, someone who's maybe interested in Muta going for trying to complete the big three, to see how that happens, or whether they're just interested in seeing what Mara Fuji's up to these days. You know, hopefully we can attract a record audience so far for Noah on Fight TV.
That would be great. I just checked it, and Nakajima and Go Shiozaki actually is number 8, and Shiozaki versus Sugiura is number 6. So two matches of Noah in the top 10 for the Voice of Wrestling poll. And as you said, the audience, Dylan has pointed out that people have been basically laughing about Noah going back to Sumo Hall years ago. And I don't really sense any energy in that direction now. I think that Noah has built so much confidence with not only their audience, but also with a quote-unquote casual Japanese pro wrestling audience that people don't laugh about them anymore. They are not a laughing stock anymore. They used to be in a couple of years ago, maybe. But now they are a company that is taken very seriously by a lot of people. And I think that Noah has built up a very good new audience for them while also trying to attract the traditional pro wrestling Noah audience that may have vanished over the last couple of years to maybe come back to Budokan. So what do you think about their approaches to get a new audience or to broaden their audience?
Yeah, I think you have to take Noah very seriously now with ABIMA behind them. They're locked into so many different sports. ABIMA are absolute masterminds of knowing how to develop talent and also how to promote, publicize, how to market talent. Someone like Tenshin Nasukawa, one of the star kickboxers in Japan, but he's got where he is today largely thanks to ABIMA. They've put everything behind him. They've had him on chat shows, game shows, broadcasts, and so forth. And that's something they're starting to do now. Maybe you've seen with Kaito Kiyomiya, he's starting to appear now on hit shows on TV and whatnot. So really they're starting to develop that new talent while still retaining stars like Mara Fuji. Let's keep him involved with different things. We'll pair him up with Akiyama. That'll again hopefully attract some potentially some lapsed fans. And then also when you come to watch that, then you'll get to see this new star, the supernova Kiyomiya. So I think that it's a bit of a juggling act to retain, you know, your top stars from your beginning, from your foundation, to develop the new guys. Kiyomiya, you know, make an audience for him. And I think that it's going in a good direction at the moment. That's my take on it.
I think that's really smart when you think about it, too. A lot of their things, you know, there's going to be different reactions for everything, some negative, some positive. But if you look at everything that Noah's really done and a lot of their tactics lately, it feels like there's at least a method to them. And like you said, masters of star making and pushing the product. Like, you know, this Muto thing, not everyone's going to love it, obviously, because he's a little bit older. But if you look at it, there's a story behind it going for the big three, like you said. So that's going to have an automatic hook into the show to have that. You see guys like Kiyomiya go on the talk shows, Akiyama coming in, bringing him back is a huge deal for me as a fan. And, you know, Mark, you know, you told me before you were listening to the show, you're a longtime listener, and I think you and Striga and I think all the listeners would agree that if there's one thing I hate, it's when I say that I'm right about something. I think that's something I just loathe doing that.
You'll never go to that.
Yeah, exactly.
So far.
No. Yeah,
I thought that was going to be a segue to talk about the juniors division then. I thought that's where you were going.
Hey, we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, if you're so, but, you know, I just want to mention that I did predict Akiyama being brought in for this show before it happened. So, yes, but the juniors, that, like you said, that's another thing. It's like, that is something that a lot of people might not like, the storytelling-wise. But it does keep everybody involved, at least. I mean, you've got a whole division where people are turning on each other every show, but also the entire division is involved. So there is at least a method to that madness, so to speak, even if I might think it's madness. You know, it's a,
sure,
there's
sure.
a method.
I remember listening after the I think it was the second show, the December show, and obviously the Suzuki had his mystery partner, didn't he, who eventually turned out to be Susumu, and I think you was talking on the show about how we approached it, because obviously what do you do about that mystery opponent? And I had a list of potential candidates for the slot, who it would be. And I showed it, and I just got a nod, basically. But I knew that Stuart found out who it would be, so I thought we was going to be covered. And then, of course, he comes out, and we've got absolutely no idea who that is.
Well, you were not alone in that. Nobody had any idea what that was supposed to be.
Yeah. And how crazy is that? Just to, you know, especially Noah fans, but just to have somebody go on Twitter to deep dive and find a mark on somebody to find out
their
identity.
Incredible.
Yeah. How passionate are these fans out there sometimes?
I've made sure to give this.
Yeah, you gave the guy a lot of
thought
for that as well. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Is it?
And. Since we're going into that direction, you've talked about your list. They showed me your list of names that you had for what was his name? Salvaje de Oriente. Yeah, exactly. You said that you've shown this to one of the guys backstage. That was the next question that I would ask you. How is the connection between you and the people in charge of Pro Wrestling NOAH. Is there some contact you can always go to that will talk to you about what's going on with Pro Wrestling NOAH and the show right now going on? Who is there you can turn to?
Yeah, sure. There's a number of staff who work in the office who've been with the company, you know, since the beginning, and they speak English. So regarding next shows, you know, they reach out to us, they give us some information, they give us the heads up on the change in the start time and so forth. And in the first event, which was in Yokohama, it was, I have to say, really fantastic, the reception and the welcome we received. You know, I was a little surprised, to be honest, in a pro wrestling setting that we was just in the commentary position. This was a few hours before the show, before the venue had opened to the public. And we was with a member of the NOAH staff who was introducing us to all the talent, to all the wrestlers. And yeah, just how modest they all were and how welcoming. And of course, they all did their best to speak a few words in English, which was, you know, appreciated. But yeah, I think we can work together. You know, they're out there to tell the stories in the ring, and that's what we try and do from a commentary position. So yeah, I think it's a good relationship so far. We've worked well. Obviously, we'll build up some of a rapport with the wrestlers now as we move forward. You know, we've done some high fives with Sakuraba, or high elbows maybe we've done. But yeah, we're starting to build up a good connection that goes both ways now. And I think they seem to be happy with what we're doing. So hopefully we can continue to grow that and do as best as we can for them.
Well, so going to the show itself now, you've pointed out that going back to Budokan is much more of a road than the final stop. And I think that NOAH has been very smart to call the show Destination, because it's really the destination that they want to go back to more in the next couple of years. They could have called the show, I don't know, Arrival or anything like that, but it's not like they are at the point yet where they can call that. So going back to Budokan, calling it a destination, I think it's very smart by them to go.
I also think it plays off of Destiny, like one of their biggest shows. I think that's a really cool plan.
Yes, absolutely. So they've been really thinking about that names really matter when you name a show. And yeah, we've been talking about some names on this card. So I'd say we approach the top of the card first. That's going to be one part of this broadcast, and the first four matches will be another part. First, of course, in the main event of that show, it's going to be a litmus test of what Dylan has been questioning all of last year. Is Keiji Muto going to be a draw in the main event for Pro Wrestling NOAH? We'll be seeing that with his match against Goshi Ozaki. He's challenging Goshi Ozaki for the GHC heavyweight title. I think we can all agree that Go has been on an absolutely amazing title run throughout this last year, when he first won the title back in January of last year, carrying it all through 2020, and now defending it against Keiji Muto, one of the biggest legends, of course, in Japanese wrestling, here in the main event of Budokan. This is going to be a great match for Goshi Ozaki to go into, and it has to mean a lot to him.
Yeah, what a title reign he's had so far. And last year, of course, he had those epics against Sugera and Nakajima, and that was only a turnaround of 13 days. And I think that has really stood out as creating that buzz around NOAH again. Having such strong matches just 2 weeks apart, I think that's really defined his reign. And it's really put NOAH back on the map, back on the internet. There's that buzz going again. We have to see Shiozaki's matches. And then this is the next one. This is Keiji Muto, a totally different challenge, unlike anyone he's faced so far in his title reign. And you've got the face of NOAH, I Am NOAH, Goshi Ozaki, taking on the outsider, Keiji Muto, the one title that he's not won out of the big three. So the story's there, you know. People can say about maybe physical limitations, you know, from Muto's side. But this, we could be looking at potentially his last big match back in the big setting, big stadium. So I'm excited about what we're going to see in the main event.
So I've been calling that Muto will win this match ever since he stepped into Pro Wrestling NOAH. I said he will be challenging for the GHC heavyweight title, and he will win the title. Dylan, do you still think that's going to happen?
Yeah, if that happens, if you think I'm bad, I can't wait to see how you flex if Muto wins. So for that reason alone, I have to predict Go will win here. But I do think that Go, again, I really think you have to give credit to the marketing behind NOAH and a lot of their matches, because that buzz, that, like you said, those 13 days when Nakajima and Sugera was both awesome matches, and great for the buzz of the company. But even back all the way to a year ago, when he was facing Fujita in that crazy stare-down match, that went all over the place. Everybody was talking about it. A lot of his matches have just seemed to pick up steam from there and there. You know, his match with Kaito last year when he won the title was great. Even the match with Saito had a great story to it, you know, on the Misawa show. I think that they've really built a lot of great stories around Go, whether it's those two matches I mentioned, whether Nakajima turning on him, the Axis split, which was very emotional for a lot of fans. Sugera on the day of, like, 10 years later, when Sugera ended his first title reign. Just, there's all kinds of great stories that they're building with this title reign. I think that's an underrated aspect in addition to just his work. And this one, you have multiple, which you just basically laid them all out, Mark. There's tons of storylines going into this, at least. The physical limitations, as a fan, I want Go to win. But there are storyline perspectives from it I can understand as well. At least it's not like it's something, you know, maybe somebody I don't like or don't think is very good, and then they're just up there for no reason. It's like here, there's a lot of stories behind it. I think no matter what you say, a lot of the talent he's faced, they've built compelling stories around them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think either way, whoever wins out of that main event, you're coming out of it with a huge story. Because either you've got Shiozaki defeating the legend Muto, declaring, "I am Noah," as Noah back in the Nippon Budokan, you know, what a feeling that'll be for a lot of fans. Or Muto's done it, and Muto takes the top title in pro wrestling Noah. And that, of course, will get a lot of shock, a lot of headlines around the world.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And Tale of Limitations, you said, you can go to Go Shiozaki too for that, because the story has been that his shoulders and arms are basically fucked because of his big title reign, his big matches that he had all year long, and catching all the big kicks from Katsuki Nakajima, specifically in their November match. So his shoulders, arms bandaged up. And now here's Keiji Muto also working over his legs. So Go Shiozaki left with no limbs back in the ring. That would be the story there. Well, we're going to see how that turns out with that match. The second big title match on this card is the match for the GHC National Championship. And after Kenno had defeated Katsunari Murakami recently in their match on January 23rd, which I just watched the other day, and I really liked the match. It was a short one, under 10 minutes. He's now going to face Masakatsu Funaki. We've mentioned him before, former legend champion in Real Japan Pro Wrestling, of course, also a long-time MMA fighter, and has been in All Japan Pro Wrestling for a couple of years before that, too. And after the Murakami match, Masakatsu Funaki, who is, of course, part of the AMS Alliance, came out to challenge Kenno. What can we expect from this match, Mark?
Yeah, I think this could be Kenno's most exciting, his best contest, his best title defense to date. We've seen him go down the martial arts direction. He's been facing Sakuraba and various others, you know, with this kind of background. But he's admitted himself, he thinks that Funaki is his best challenger to date. I think really we could see something, obviously some martial arts elements to it. But I think Funaki is in absolutely superb condition, you know, for his age. He's just an evergreen legend of a performer in wrestling and MMA. So hopefully, as a co-main event, this gets a lot of time, and I think they could really go out there and potentially try and steal the show.
You know, first of all, I think the thing we need to address right away is I think there's clearly some bias on this episode, because we have another member of the IMS Alliance joining us right now, in Mark.
Listen,
that's still unofficial, I'm afraid.
They've screwed the two of us over multiple times now. They've screwed over Mohamed Yone too, so I'm not going to join the AMS Alliance. No, that's not going to happen.
Okay. We'll see about that. This could all be a storyline right now. I'm the one that's getting worked over on this show. But to me, this is like my most anticipated match on the show. And it's interesting because for a long time, Kenno, I was a huge fan of his work. I followed that guy all the way back to like Michinoku Pro days. And when he came in, I was super excited. And then he got this main event push. And I was like, man, all this guy does is whine and complain on the microphone. And I wasn't a big fan of his character. But then this last year, they've given him this national title reign. And he's had all these cool, interesting matches against these shooter type of guys. You know, Murakami, you mentioned earlier. Sakuraba, he's faced in the past. And now Funaki. I'm really excited about this because it's something different, and that's something I'm always an advocate for. But Mark, I know you probably know this, and all the listeners out there, that's like my biggest thing with titles anywhere is that they all have a purpose on a show. They're not just
absolutely.
You know, and that's something I think a lot of guys struggle, a lot of companies struggled with for a while. But this national title has really done a great thing with Sugera at first, and now Kenno has totally carried that over into its own thing. I love the matchup stylistically, and this is my preferred style anyway. Somebody like a Masakatsu Funaki, like you said, a total legend, Pancrase background. And every time you see him in these multi-man tags, he always pops off the screen to me. So I cannot wait to, for this match. I think it's going to be really good, and I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Yeah, how does it play out?
I think Kenno's had the title for a little while now. So you could say that, you know, this is kind of like, I don't know who they would bring in as the follow-up of this style for Funaki. So unless
Shinya Oki.
That could be a great match. That would be
could work as well.
Yeah, totally. Politically, it could work as well. Awesome. Like, I'm totally down for that. But unless that's the case, this feels like a very good end road to have him be like the last guy of this style. But if they give the Aoki bit, I'm going to call an asterisk on that. But until then, I'm going to go with Funaki win the title. I think he could have a good little reign, do some more of these shoot-style matches that I really appreciate. And maybe just as a fan, I want to see more of that Battle Arts influence style. So I cannot wait to see what happens in this match. Either way, though, I'm going to enjoy it, I think.
I know that, for example, W.H. Park, he has been down on this card partly due to a lot of outsiders being in prominent roles on this card. And for me, the best way to approach this would be Kenno defeating Masakatsu Funaki, and maybe after that there is someone that walks out, core guy from the Noah roster, maybe Kaito Kiyomiya again, maybe someone else, who knows, who could be there in line for a national title shot, and the big Budokan audience sees that this will be the next big program for the GHC national title, and now between two Noah guys.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Stuga.
Yeah, especially if Muto wins the title in the main event. I think that makes perfect sense, actually. How about this bit of fantasy booking here? I just came up with this idea on the fly. I'm looking at the card right now and seeing a lot of things. And what if Harada, he drops the title earlier on and comes out and challenges Kenno after the national title match? That's my fantasy booking right there.
Yeah. Then again, he just comes off losing and would come out there to challenge for the title. I don't know if that comes off that well.
I think that would be a fresh matchup. They win each other over.
Yes, it would be a fresh match, definitely.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking about the artistic value, Striga. You're thinking about logic. Things like that.
Dylan, what about Kendo Kashin?
Well, that would fit none of those. Neither logic or artistic vision. But I will see him. He's in the multi-man match. And well, hey, and he is kind of like a Funaki style, kind of. Like, not really, but I mean, he has an MMA background. He's beaten the Gracie before in MMA. So bring him on.
I mean, if they wanted to do another outsider to challenge for the title, there is two on the card, down on the card with Masaki Mochizuki and Masato Tanaka. Those two could be interesting matches for Kenno as well.
Especially Mochizuki, I think, would be a great stylistic matchup.
Absolutely. Well, that's the national title. We have the big tag team match, and I think there is a lot to talk about on this one. Noah Generation, Naomichi Marufuji teams with Jun Akiyama. Jun Akiyama, of course, has been GHC Heavyweight Champion very early on in Pro Wrestling Noah. Marufuji has had the title later on when Noah opened up more to the junior style being put in the main event situation. And they face the young tag team of Yoshiki Inamura, who has split from Congo a couple of months ago and has basically gone back to his rookie roots. He teams with the big Supernova. Mark, you said it. He's been on, placed in different TV formats too. Kaito Kiyomiya. Dylan, what do you think about this match?
I'm very interested in this match. Again, much like the national title, I think this is a great matchup to put in. I love the team of Akiyama and Marufuji, and especially Akiyama coming in. I think he's been like I said, when we were doing the year-end award show, I thought Akiyama was like an MVP-level player last year in Japanese wrestling on the whole. Inamura, I think, has a ton of upside. He's one of the best young guys going. And Noah, it feels like he's right there on the precipice of getting it going in his career and making a step forward. Kaito, I've really enjoyed his work. Even last year, I think he was one of the guys out of all the aces. You see in some of these other companies, you get a guy who is the ace and the chosen one and all this. Then they lose the title and it's like they got nothing going on, pretty much. But with Kaito, he was able to be interesting even without the title and have a lot of really good matches. So Marufuji, obviously a legend with Akiyama, so I think this is going to be a great match. Stylistically, I think whenever Akiyama is in, especially, it's going to be really good. And I can't wait to see the matchup between Akiyama and Kaito. I think that's going to be what I have my eyes on between the two teams.
Yeah, definitely. Mark, what do you expect from this match?
Yeah, it's got the dream team of Marufuji and Akiyama. That itself, I think, is a big draw, especially to a lot of older Noah fans, to see Akiyama back in the Noah ring, in the Nippon Budokan. I think that's going to help to push tickets as well. And then to see them take on the future of Noah. You have two legends of Noah against the future of Noah, the future face of Noah in Kaito Kiyomiya. I think it's a fantastic matchup. And I think really it's going to be interesting to see what way it goes, because you've got so much faith in these two guys, Kiyomiya and Inamura. Do you have to give them that win in such a big setting with all the fans, all the spotlight on it? So I'm really interested to see which way this goes, and especially to see Akiyama going up against Kiyomiya and Inamura. That's going to be great.
Man, what if Akiyama really wins this match? And what if Goshi Ozaki defends the title in the main event and then Junakiyama walks out to challenge Goshi Ozaki after the main event of Budokan? I think we talked about that on this show too. On one of our last episodes, that will be the epitome of a pro-sting Noah moment.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think that Akiyama has been brought in a tag match with obviously the direction that they will use him in the future for singles matches. And especially now that he's DDT contracted or freelancing with the emphasis on DDT, that's definitely, I think, the direction they're going to go down. And hopefully we can look forward to some singles matches from Akiyama in Noah again.
I was just going to say, the last time that these two faced was in 2018 in the Champion Carnival of All Japan Pro Wrestling, actually, when Junakiyama was still a regular for All Japan Pro Wrestling and was working behind the scenes for them. And how things have changed almost 3 years later now. Marufuji, of course, still with Noah, but there is really no working relationship with All Japan anymore ever since Junakiyama left and went to DDT. The last proper Noah match they had was on December 23, 2012, when Akiyama defeated Naomichi Marufuji, and now here they are back in the tag team situation, and they're facing the younger team. Dylan, you are high on both of these guys. What do you expect from Kiyomiya and Inamura in this match?
Absolutely, I'm a big fan of both of them. I might have been one of Kaito's like strongest supporters when he was champion out there, and I feel very vindicated because, like I said, he's had a lot of great performances. Inamura is just really impressed me every time I've seen him in a role. I think they're going to do great here. Again, I think when Akiyama's in, I think that there's going to be a focus on Akiyama and Kaito. I kind of was thinking the same thing Mark was, that Akiyama would be back in the, you know, going forward. And I think that's a big time singles match you can build to, Akiyama versus Kaito. Inamura, I think he's going to just, being in this match is like a great stamp of approval for him, in my opinion. This young in his career, third from the top in Budokan Hall against two Noah legends in Akiyama and Marufuji, that's like he's already won. So he could go out and go full throttle in this match. Not like the tag team or the group, but like he could just go all out in this match. Also not like the group in DDT, but whatever. The point is, he's going to go big here, and I think he's going to have a great performance. I could see after this match, honestly, people being like, maybe if they are newer fans of Noah, maybe not as familiar, they're going to see Inamura pop off because he's got great size to him. He really stands out. Kiyomiya is a great wrestler and a great young ace, but I think Inamura, his size, is really going to catch some people's eyes right away. They're going to be like, whoa, who is this guy? I think that's kind of going to be their reaction, I think, a lot of the newer fans.
Yeah, and I said that he has gone back to his rookie roots. Of course, yes, but he has also been very impressive in-ring recently against some of the older wrestlers on the roster, some of the more veteran wrestlers. He has picked up a win over Mohamed Yone recently with his new finishing move, the Muso, which of course also has a big, big history in pro wrestling Noah, with Takeshi Rikyo using the move to defeat Kenta Kobashi back in the day for the GHC heavyweight title. And Yoshiki Nomura now picking up that move, or being given that move, is a big step of approval too.
I also think that we have to mention here, that's another thing, just to kind of take it back to the beginning of all of this, Noah rising up has a lot to do with the young talent, because for a long time, it's like they had nobody in the dojo, and like nobody was coming up, who was going to be the future, but now it's like you've got multiple prospects. These two, Okada on the undercard, this new guy Yano coming in, you've got a ton of young guys here coming up, and these two are definitely the standouts in terms of the heavyweight, but it's like, so, like 5 years ago, five, six, 7 years ago, this kind of thing was unthinkable with Noah, to have two young guys, and Inamura super young and fresh-faced, third from the top in Budokan Hall. You know, I think that really says a lot about where they've come, and these guys are at the right at the head of that movement.
And there's also Kai Fujimura. They've picked him up from the former Wrestle One that is now a defunct company, basically. Kai Fujimura, a guy that I have always been very high on ever since he made his debut in Wrestle One. I've been watching out for this guy. And I've said it last year, too, that if this guy ends up in one of those smaller indie companies, that would be a big, big miss, because I really think that this guy has a lot to offer as a junior and maybe as a heavyweight in years to come. And I'm so glad that Noah has picked him up now and put him in this, this show too.
Absolutely great young talent. I thought he was another guy that really stood out to me by the end of Wrestle One. I'm so happy that Noah picked him up, because he's a great get. He's going to be a staple of this junior division, I think, if they go behind him. He's got a lot of high flying abilities and great talent to him as well. I think he's going to add something to this division when he really polishes himself up and gets to that point.
Another former Wrestle One guy is actually in the junior heavyweight title match against champion Daisuke Harada. And when they first announced that they were going back to Budokan, I kind of expected a junior heavyweight title match in Budokan to feature at least one of Yoshinari Ogawa and Kotaro Suzuki. But they went in a different direction with that. So Daisuke Harada and Seki Yoshioka are getting a big, big spot here in Budokan. I'm really happy for the two of them, because I like both wrestlers very much, and I know that Dylan, of course, is a big fan of Daisuke Harada. I've been hyping up Seki Yoshioka on this show too in the last couple of years. Mark, what do you think about this junior title match?
Yeah, I think this is a really exciting matchup. I think it's going to absolutely 100% deliver. It's definitely the biggest match of Yoshioka's career. Imagine when he got the news that he's going to be challenging for junior title at Nippon Budokan. And it's his first match in the Nippon Budokan. But also for Harada, it's the first time he's ever wrestled in Nippon Budokan. So it's going to mean a lot of things to both men, the fact that the title's on the line. And I think it's exciting that they've gone in the direction of Yoshioka, you know, to show a lot of trust in him. Obviously, when he came across to Noah last year. So yeah, let's see what he can do. Going up against Harada, you know, one of the stalwarts of the junior division.
Seki Yoshioka has been going out there and saying that he's going to win the championship because he expects Muto to win the title too. Both of them, of course, from a Wrestle One background, and he wants to win the title now for his sensei. Let's see how that goes, but I really think that the match is going to be great. Right, Dylan?
Yeah, this is the biggest match of his career, just like Mark said. Yoshioka, somebody, when he left Wrestle One, he was my favorite of the juniors that they had. And I was like, okay, a lot of people were into Kodama, and he won me over in All Japan eventually, but Yoshioka I was already on board with. And it felt like he was kind of treading water for a while, to be honest, but now he's finally getting this spot here, and it's like you said, it shows a lot of confidence in him to put him here. Harada, I was pretty certain, would have some kind of spot in the junior division, but Yoshioka was kind of a surprise, a little bit of a curveball, but in a good way, because I've seen his talent and I know what he could do. So I'm really excited. I think he's going to step up and really impress people. He's going to show out, which is not a faction name, because I'm using these adjectives on people, yet. Maybe it will be in the future. But Yoshioka, I think, is really going to show out and have a great match, like you said. This is going to be a show stealer potential. Anything with Harada in it, I think he's such a great worker and a great pro wrestler that anything he's in has potential to steal everything. But with Yoshioka, I think he's going to be so hyped up to want to make this work that these guys are just going to have an incredible match.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that Seki Yoshioka, the best body of work I've seen from him was when he was turning heel in Wrestle One, wrestling as a part of the Strong Hearts. He's left the Strong Hearts since, trying to find his new role, maybe. That's why maybe he has been treading some water, but as Mark said, being called up here to have this match, again, as I mentioned it with Yoshiki Nomura, great stamp of approval for Seki Yoshioka. And they are not shy to mention that his background is WrestleGate, where he made his debut years and years ago as part of a tag team with Hayata by the name of Scramble Time. And Hayata is in the match for the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, teaming with Yoshinari Ogawa. They are the champions right now. And they face Kotaro Suzuki and Ikuto Hidaka. And by the way, there was another masked guy for a couple of weeks, actually, on the Pro Wrestling Noah roster. And I think there was someone who called that Ikuto Hidaka was the one behind the mask. I don't know who that was, but he was definitely on point there. And they
infringement right now.
Noah has kind of cleaned up their act with the junior division, it feels like, going into the big Budokan show. Of course, there have been a lot of interferences in the matches with Suzuki Uragun and with the team of Ogawa and Hayata. But for the most part, they've been clearly going into the direction that this match is about supremacy between Yoshinari Ogawa and Kotaro Suzuki, two of the legends of the junior division in Pro Wrestling Noah, Dylan.
Oh man, I'm ready for a changing of the guard. Bring back the legend Kotaro Suzuki and also a man that I love in Ikuto Hidaka. I hope that they win these titles and have like a 20-year reign with them. When both these guys are super old, and 20 years from now, I guarantee you, Hidaka can still go. that's my prediction. That's a 20-year prediction you've heard on this show, ladies and gentlemen, on here. But I really think those guys winning the titles, they could just have a great, great run and bring these titles back up. Because to me, the junior division of NOAH has always been one of its main selling points in comparison to the other companies, especially the big three of New Japan and All Japan and NOAH. The junior division of NOAH has always stood out to me as special and like valuable to the company. And I think they could get back to that. It's been some crazy times. I'm not going to lie to anybody right now lately. There's been some crazy times and things happening that might be hard to follow. We saw the charts on the TV show that nobody could follow. Stringer, you remember that?
I remember how confused I was even on air, trying to figure out who was in full throttle and who wasn't.
I think Full Throttle may be the seed of dissension in the entire division. Nobody knows who's in it.
I think everybody has been in Full Throttle at this point.
Yes, exactly. Like, you guys are in the IMS Alliance. You're backing out. There's even confusion on this show about who's in what faction. But I think I was in Full Throttle before, but when the Kotage left, I had to leave as well. But so I think this match is good. Ogawa, fascinating wrestler. I mean, this guy has been around for so long, starting all the way back in All Japan in the late 80s. And to see this guy wrestle at this stage of his career and still be so crisp in the ring, he's got everything down so well that he and Kotaro are just great old pros and different styles too. Suzuki, much more of a very creative wrestler. I've always said Suzuki has one of the best movesets in wrestling, a true video game moveset in a good way. All of his moves names are named after Gundam, so how can you not love that? But I think Hidaka, Ogawa, Suzuki, these guys are all veterans that are still as good as they ever were, practically. And Hayata coming in, he's in a little bit of a different spot. He's more known for his team with Yohei. They've gotten away from that over the last year. This is going to be his chance at a Budokan show. I think he's going to step up, and I'm hopeful that he steps up and really puts in his best performance, because he's somebody I'm admittedly a little cold on, but I think in this situation, they've given him every chance to succeed. So if he blows it, I'm going to just bury him on the show after this show if he has a bad time. But if he does good, I'll put him over.
I guess there's not going to be any burials on commentary for this one. So, Mark, what's your opinion on this match?
Yeah, I think the junior division, it looks like they've struck gold on this show. We've got the two junior division matches, one after the other. They're both title matches. They'll both open up the second half of the card. And that kicks off with, obviously, the junior heavyweight tag match. I was really pleased to see Hidaka come in. Big fan of Hidaka. Enjoyed watching him for years, especially in various tag team forms, you know, with Fujita years ago. That was an exciting pairing. But I think he's a tag team specialist. Put him with Suzuki, I think it'd be impossible for them pair to have a bad match. And then to go up against Ogawa and Hayata, who've done well as a team. And actually, Ogawa in the last show we were set in December, before the match, he was doing some warm-ups and things in the ring and some submissions, transitions. And he just had all the talent really around him. And just the immense respect, you know, they have for him. And his ability was really, really impressive. And he was just showing some various holds and things like that. And what a talent, you know, still at his age. He's maturing like a fine wine. I think this pairing, Ogawa, Hayata versus Suzuki and Hidaka, I think they could go all the way. And I think they'll be determined to kick off on a big note on the second half of the show.
Yeah, and we've said it on this show too. Ever since Hidaka left 0-1, it really felt like that there has been a new spark to his career. A new fire was lit under him, and he has been great ever since. Wherever he went, he did his own shows. He has his own Sean Capture brand now, where he promotes in his hometown. He has been on Ganbare Pro shows, where he's been awesome. He's been on Noah. He's been all around in all Japan, even so, man. Just great to see Ikuto Hidaka in this role now. And as you said, Mark, this is going to be the opening act of the second half of the show. And the main event of the first half is a 12-man tag match between Sugiura-gun and Kongo, with Takashi Sugiura, Kazushi Sakuraba, Katsuyuki Fujita, Katsunaro Murakami, Kendo Kashin, and Nosawa Rongai against Katsuyuki Nakajima, Masaki Tamiya, Manabu Soya, Hao, Nio, and Tadasuke. There are so many K's in that. There may be a special K alliance coming up. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
New faction.
I'm not sure why they are not going to do a GHC tag team title match on this card, because Masaki Tamiya pinned Takashi Sugiura recently, and the aggression, they've been back together now with Nakajima and Kitamiya teaming again, which kind of left Manabu Soya on the outside with Kongo. And then, of course, there are Hao, Nio, and Tadasuke. The junior trio of Kongo. This is going to be a wild, wild match, I expect. Right, Dylan?
Absolutely. Look at some of these names here. Kendo Kashin, Murakami, Nosawa. This is just going to be wild and crazy, I bet. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Murakami does here. I think he's in a good spot in this kind of crazy match. I agree with you, though, about the tag team titles. I think it would have been a perfect spot to have Sakuraba and Sugiura, who I think have done a great job as tag team champions, too. And they're older guys as well, but I think they've totally benefited the company with their tag team run. You know, the aggression coming back together is a good little story there. There's a lot of guys I like in this match. But like you said, I think this is going to be much more of like a crazy style of match to get everybody involved. You're going to see a lot of wild brawling and things like that. But I'm still looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. A match, an under-the-radar match, I think is going to be really interesting to watch, is Sakuraba and Hao, if they can get together, because I think stylistically they match really well. I think Hao is like a hidden gem of Noah, and I know a lot of people think he's underrated too.
Yeah, his junior title match was very, very good.
Yeah. And he had a great match with Keno. And he feels like he's a guy with a grassroots fan base that's just waiting to bubble up. So to put him in, I'd love to see what he can do against all the big guys on the other team. And I think that's going to be one of the highlights for me. But I'm sure they're saving the tag title match for down the line, and they might use this to set that up even further.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really high on Katsunari Murakami coming back to Noah. And as I said, I really liked the match that he had with Keno, also another shoot background guy. Mark, who do you like specifically of this team on the left side here with Sugiura, Sakuraba, Fujita, Murakami, Kashin, and Nosawa?
Not to cut you off, Mark, but I want to say one thing. Murakami coming back was so great, but it led to another thing where once again, twice now, Hideki Suzuki did not show up. He ran away, this time from the whole country.
He left the country. Man. Oh, man.
Yeah, to get away from Murakami. It's Ice Ribbon all over again, Stringer.
I was wondering how you would bring Hideki Suzuki up on this show, but here we are.
He would have been in this match probably if he had to left. Yeah.
So, Mark.
Yeah, I think all hell could break loose in this one. To be honest, I'm a bit concerned of my proximity to the ring for this.
Oh, man, yeah. You really have to be safe for this
Yeah, one. That, I think they could be capable of anything. But as we've said, Sugiura, obviously Sakuraba, they will defend their titles against Nakajima and Kitamiya on 7th of March, and that will be in Yokohama. So that match is official, but we'll just have to wait a little bit longer for it. I think they just wanted to hold back on that. And obviously we'll see what happens with that dynamic in this match, as they'll be on opposing sides. So obviously the challengers will be looking to put down a marker here, Nakajima and Kitamiya. And I think that Nakajima, obviously the highs last year of the title match with Shiozaki, I think that him to be involved in this 12-man match, hopefully we'll get to see a lot of him, and hopefully he'll go out there and come out on top.
Yeah.
L- listen, listen, Mark, one more thing. If things do break down, you got to do me a favor. And whatever you do, make sure to grab...
Run.
No, make sure to grab Neo. That's your only hope out of everybody involved. Go after Neo. I think you can get him. If you attack him from behind, I think you can do it. That's my advice to you right now, Mark.
I'll make a note of that. I think I'll take that on board.
Don't listen to him.
You get him from behind. That's what you got to do. Stringer doesn't understand. He hasn't been in that ring, Mark. So this is Memphis style right here. Attack from behind, and then if he turns around, run. That's my
advice. Oh, man. Yeah. Nothing Mark, to add from...
Even better idea. Push Stewart out to the...
I'll be doing that anyway.
No, that's Memphis style.
Yes, exactly. That's Memphis style.
Man, yes. So I think the tag team title being a main event for another show, or one of the main events for another show, is fine. I just figured, Budokan would be a great place to put on all the titles, but that is fine as well. On this show, there are three more matches. Mohamed Yone and Shuhei Taniguchi go against the Ems Alliance of Masaki Mochizuki and Masato Tanaka. As I said, one of those could maybe come out to challenge Kenno afterwards. And there's a six-man tag, Atsushi Kotoge, Yuta Miyawaki, and Yasu Takayano against Hajime Ohara, Yohei, and Kai Fujimura, as well as the opening match, the Dark Agents, Akitoshi Saito and Masao Inoue, against Daiki Inaba and Kinya Okada. Dylan, what do you think about these undercard tags?
Yeah, just looking for a good showcase for Mochizuki and Tanaka. And the third match from the bottom, I think they're going to do good. Taniguchi, I think, is somebody that always puts in good performances and works really hard. I think, like I said, he's never got really the stink of the old gimmick off of him. But if you actually watch his matches, he's really good. I really enjoy watching him. So I think he's going to do some good things, especially with Tanaka. And Mochizuki is always a pleasure to watch. I think they're going to take the win there. The Ems Alliance must remain strong, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
The six-man tag match features two of my favorite wrestlers in Noah, Atsushi Kotage and Hajime Ohara. Wish they had something a little bigger for them, to be honest. I think they would have been in a better spot further up the card involved with the titles, but I think for the undercard, they're going to do fine, and Kotage always finds a way to get himself over, even on undercard spots, so I think that's a good little run there. Yano has looked good in the brief showings that he's had on the opening matches. He's a very new rookie for Noah. I think he's got a good future to him. Kai Fujimura, we talked about him earlier, a great high-flying prospect, so this is going to be more about the young guys, I think. Miyawaki, Yano, and Fujimura, but I think Ohara is a great person to help them along as well. Yohei, he's there too, and he will wrestle in that match. There's no question about that. And hey, he's got popularity. Him and Hayata, they're big with the ladies, I've heard, in Japan. Is that true, Mark? Oh.
That's news to me. I'd have to double check that one.
Okay, ask Hayata next time you see him, and make sure this is the time I'm putting them over most on this show, I think. But so that could be an interesting match. I'm looking forward to see the young guys more than anything. The opener, it's all about the Dark Agents, baby. Whenever I'm editing cage match shows, I sometimes jump to Noah and try to edit the Dark Agents in.
Yes.
onto their tag team profiles more than anything. But Inaba is another guy I think is a hidden gem for Noah. Kind of underrated, actually. I think he's somebody that doesn't get a lot of love when he was Wrestle 1 champion, and I thought he did a better job than a lot of people thought. So I was really excited when he came to Noah, and I thought he had a nice run. Him and Kaito did their thing as a team and as opponents, too. But he's yet to really break through in the opener. I think he's going to stand out here and really impress some people if they tune into that.
Yeah, Hajime Ohara is a guy that doesn't get a lot of shine. But if he does, it is really great. So I can only recommend you, if you haven't done so, check out the Junior Heavyweight title match that he had against Daisuke Harada from January 10 in Kurikan Hall. Rated 7.65 on Cage Match right now. Very, very good match. Whenever Hajime Ohara gets a spot, he's great there. And he's going to be a glue in this match, as you said, Dylan, for the younger guys to be led through this match. So it's going to be fine. Daiki Inaba, it's going to be interesting how he fares against the Dark Agents, and if he's going to pull out his Tiger Suplex against Saito or Inoue, that could be a dreadful finish.
Well, I think, don't worry, I think his partner will be the one taking the fall in this match.
Maybe for the safest.
Yeah, maybe for the benefit of us all, I would say.
Yeah, Mark, anything on the undercard?
Yeah, Inaba, I'm very interested in seeing how things progress for him. I was excited when he came over to Noah. I think he's had some opportunity so far, but I think he's got a massive way to go. I think this is going to be a big year for him. I think he's got great luck. He's got great ability. I was really interested in the interactions only recently with Marufuji. And that was a singles match, I think, we could see down the line. I think they planted the seeds for that. I thought maybe that was where they were going for this one, but we'll have to wait for that. But in Abba, I think he's got great upside, and looking forward to seeing him on the card.
I think there is a lot of seeds that's going to be planted on this show. It's a huge card with a lot of implications there, with a lot of story background there. And they could go in so many directions from this point on to really pull out a great year for Pro Wrestling Noah and to put on some bigger show, not some bigger shows than this, but some big shows this year as well with everything they'll do here in Budokan. Of course, there is valid criticism on this card that there is outsiders in the main roles and that Noah doesn't... that was one of the criticisms I read, that Noah doesn't trust their guys to be in top positions. And I think there is something to that, that you can go into that route and criticize it from that point. But overall, I think there is a lot to get into on this show. And I'm really looking forward to watching this show. And in the end, of course, also to talk about it here on the Eastern Lariat. So, Mark, what's your final assessment on this Budokan card?
I think this is a stepping stone to get to the point where you can have your own in-house Noah-produced talent topping the card in various matches. I think that's the direction, that's where we're going. But I think at the moment, given the roster, given where we are in a pandemic and these times, I think that's why they've chosen to go with these outsiders challenging. And then when we see the top talent, the next generation, Kiyomiya Inamura, when we see them in the ring with Marufuji, Akiyama, that's how people will buy into them, buy into their stories. And then in 6 months from now or a year from now, it'll probably be like those two, Inamura and Kiyomiya, at the top of the card, challenging. And I think it's just going to take some time to get there, understand those comments, but I think that's where they're going to go. So this is a key show. It's not so much about a revival of Noah, but now it's a kickstart. This is the stepping stone to get where they want to go. So I think it's a really good time to jump on board, whether you're a Noah fan, whether you're a Japanese wrestling fan, or you're intrigued by what Muto is going to be capable of doing. So I think there's something for everyone on this show. You know, they've got everyone on the show, all the talent, all the roster is out there in matches. I think they've put together a really strong card. We've got four title matches as well. I think it's an unmissable show.
You know, my take on this, I'm not a big believer in that, to be honest with you. Guys like Hidaka, Akiyama, Funaki, I want them on my show. I don't care what contract they're under or anything like that. Like, those guys, I would have them on every time. You know, like, they're great additions. Muto is the main red flag for me. But like I said, they did at least make a story for that. And, like, it's clearly not for me. So, whether I like it or not, they've at least have some thinking behind it, really, more than anything. And I do think it's interesting to have something like this, which is so kind of outside the box and different than what you think you would have in a Noah Budokan main event. I think it's somewhat interesting because, like, let's just say Go wins that, you know, wins the match and he retains the title. You can guarantee all the response is going to be like, oh, thank God, you know, for a lot of people, for a lot of the Noah fans and stuff on there. So I do think that there is going to be an emotional reaction to that match either way, even for me, because I really would like Go winning more than Muto. So I do think that there is an emotional aspect to that. But guys like Hidaka, Akiyama, Funaki, like, those guys should be, like, they belong in Budokan. They belong on any Noah show in my book, regardless of if they're contracted or not. Like, that's just how I would run the company, to be honest. If you have the chance to book guys like that, you put them on the show, in my opinion. So, if anything, the age might be a little bit of a problem, because, like, Funaki, Muto, Akiyama are all pushing 50, over 50. But we're going to see how it plays out at the end of the day. Muto is the one question mark, in my opinion. And we're going to see how that works out at the end of the day. Like I said, it's not like this is going to be a mystery unsolved forever. We're going to know how it works out after the show. And like you said, me and you will talk about it. And hopefully things work out. Maybe they can surprise us even with that main event. I don't know.
Maybe they can. Maybe they'll don't do 40 minutes like they did with Shiozaki and Nakajima. We'll see about that. How long they go with this one. But yes, I think that there is going to be a bigger intrigue in this match, as in the entire card. I feel like we've been saying over the last year that Noah is creating more and more buzz, and I feel that this buzz might be culminating right now with the Budokan show. All eyes are set on this big event for Noah, and I think, Mark, that you've hit the nail on the head when you said that this is not going to be a revival. This is going to be a kickstart. And yeah, let's just hope that this show goes well and First League Noah will benefit from it and thrive after this one. Yeah, Mark, anything you want to add to this card?
Well, I'll just drop in one comment, one exclusive I can tell you is just to put down March the 7th in your calendars. Ah. That's the Yokohama Budokan show where we've got the tag team title match, as we could well have English commentary on that one as well.
I see.
Excellent.
Yeah. We'll be watching out for that. Man, yeah. So originally the idea that I had was just to roll and see how far we go with this one. But we've basically done an entire show on Pro Wrestling Noah and the Budokan Hall show. And I do think that this very much stands alone as a show, as Dylan and I will save the other topics that we're going to address for another recording and another show, because I think that this one, both the interview that we did with you, Mark, and the preview of the show really deserves to be a show on its own. And I don't know, Dylan, anything you want to ask here?
Yeah, I do have one last thing for you, Mark. First of all, thank you so much for coming on, man, giving us your time. I've had a great time just talking to you this whole time, to be honest with you.
No, I appreciate it. Likewise.
Yeah, hopefully everybody enjoys it. But one more thing to get out of here for you, because like I said, you've been on Noah, you've been on Tokyo Joshi Pro. Just name one talent or act from both companies, one from Tokyo Joshi Pro and one from Noah. This is from you, the commentator right now, that you want people to look out for, maybe if they're new fans or maybe just lapsed fans, like you said. One act or talent from Tokyo Joshi Pro and Noah for people to look out for.
For Noah, I have to say the champion tonight. I know he's the name on everyone's lips, Go Shiozaki, but really, if you could introduce non-fans, people who haven't seen Noah before, to one person, then that's the physical embodiment of Pro Wrestling Noah, as he says. Just to see him, I think, in one big match setting, non-fan, someone who hasn't seen Noah before, even to see him, I think, against Keiji Muto in this main event, he puts his title matches just on a different level, I think, to anything else out there in pro wrestling right now. So I think if you're not familiar with Go Shiozaki, which is possible, then he's the one. Just to invest in him in one match, give him that opportunity, check out his matches last year from Nakajima, Sugera, and so on. And he'll put a marker down here for 2021 with this title defense. He said he wants to make 10 title defenses in 1 year. So we'll see where everything goes from this one. But if you're not a big Noah fan, then this is the guy you want to watch out for. This is the man. This man is Noah. That's Go Shiozaki, the GHC heavyweight champion. That's my pick for Noah. And then for Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, I would say Rika Tatsumi. I really connected with her as a character, as a wrestler. I think she's a great talent. And obviously she's been in the kind of the background really until now. She's won the big title. I think she's got a lot of development. I think she's going to go a long, long way. She's been held off, obviously, from the AEW tournament. They've gone with some bigger names. Of course, Maki Ito, understandable. She'll absolutely smash that show, I'm sure of it. But I think Rika Tatsumi, within 1 or 2 years, I think she's going to be really at the top of women's pro wrestling in terms of name value as a draw and as a performer. And I think, I'm sure, eventually as well, she'll be going stateside and she'll be one of the top in-demand talents, I think.
Excellent choices.
Excellent, yes. Go Shiozaki might be an obvious pick, as you said. But, for example, the guys that I usually go to WXW shows with when WXW shows were possible, they are more of a casual wrestling fan. And in recent months, they've come across the name Go Shiozaki again. And I remember one of them saying, oh, that's the name of the past for me, because he has been following Ring of Honor in the early 2000s with Go Shiozaki coming in. And
of course,
he and Noah both, they kind of vanished from their perspective of watching wrestling. And now they've come across the name of Go Shiozaki again. And maybe more people come back from that kind of fandom, being a Ring of Honor fan in the early 2000s when Go Shiozaki and Morishima came in, and they now check out Pro Wrestling Noah and see that this guy Go Shiozaki is still going.
Yeah, that's a great point. Striga, who would be your picks, though? Like I said, just to, in case anybody knew that Mark brings over the, Mark the Draw Pickering brings over to the show. Who would be your picks for Noah and Tokyo Joshi Pro? Just one act.
Just one act. Oh man, that is hard.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, maybe you go first. I haven't actually thought about it, so I may have to take some time here.
Okay, so for Noah, for me, my pick, I think me and Mark are both old school. I noticed that you have a love for the champions and put them over with your picks, and I think that's very smart. That's what I like, because I'm going with it too. To me, the junior champion, Daisuke Harada, is my one to watch. If you're a new fan of Noah and haven't seen him, I think you're going to see that junior match. He's not a traditional like high flyer junior. He's more of a traditional technical wrestler, hard hitting guy. He represents the spirit of Noah and that arc style, in my opinion. He's somebody that I think everybody should look out for, and he's going to wow some new fans if they check that out. For Tokyo Joshi Pro, my pick is Miyu Yamashita. Again, amazing talent. I think of pure type of wrestler, not necessarily the character or anything like that, but I think of a pure wrestler and a pure striker. I absolutely love her style and loves what she brings to the table. You know, she has a very great look with the pink attire and things like that. And I think that she's somebody that she jumps off the screen whenever you watch her. Just stylistically, I think she works at a different pace than pretty much everyone else there. I think she's somebody that stands out. So those are my two picks, Daisuke Harada and Noah, and Miyu Yamashita in Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Really love that we're going to go in different directions here with our picks, because I'm going to go in an even different direction. And if we're now saying that people are picking up on both TJP and Pro Wrestling Noah and start following them from now on, my pick for Tokyo Joshi Pro is Hikari Noah. I've talked about her a lot, and when we've talked about Tokyo Joshi Pro, I really think that she is an upcoming star for the company. She's not gotten a lot of shine yet, but whenever she is in situations like these, for example, in the Princess Tournament, she was in the semifinals, she always is very good there, and I'd keep an eye on her. And for Pro Wrestling Noah, much of the same. We've talked about this guy before. Yoshiki Inamura is the guy to watch for the future in Noah. They are high on him, and he'll eventually climb up the ladder.
Well, I will say your pick is definitely the best singer in Hikari Noah of all of our
picks.
That's
a big part of that too, of course.
Yes, absolutely. With the Up Up Girls, obviously. But those are great picks as well. I think Noah has a lot of great upside, especially for two young wrestlers to build around. I think you say that now, you're going to watch them now, you're getting on the ground floor. And in 5 years, those guys are going to be, you know, and girl, obviously, are going to be at the top of their companies and be like, whoa, look, we tuned in 2021 and we started watching these shows, and now look where they are. They're champions in their company. I think they both have that upside. Inamura and Noah both could be the top champions of both companies.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, you wanted to add something to Dylan's choices, I believe, when I talked over you, so I'm sorry for that.
No. I was just going to back up the choices, the selections, very, very strong selections. And I think they also show that obviously there is a connection between Tokyo Joshi Pro and Noah with the ABEMA ownership and the connections through DDT. So I think there's a tremendous amount of talent on both rosters. I think both rosters are quite deep, and Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling is the largest women's roster here in Japan. And I think that, like, this AEW tournament that's coming up, I think that's a great time for the talent on Tokyo Joshi roster, that they can use this opportunity, because I know there's a lot of international promoters, there's a lot of foreign wrestling fans who'd love to see the girls, Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, all the talent that's there, come to their home promotions and to make the matches more accessible. And at the same time, on Noah now, we're starting to see the emergence of some new talent, the likes of Inamura, and he's in for a big show in at the Nippon Budokan. So yeah, I think it's just about the strength, really, of both shows. And hopefully we can continue to be able to bring that to you in English commentary.
I do think that those were great final words on this show. So much like Dylan, Mark, I want to thank you very much for making time for this show. It's getting kind of late in Tokyo now, and we've both had a great time. It's been great listening to the stories that you told about all your travels, about Sayama and all the countries that you visited, and getting into Pro Wrestling Noah with you was great for us, definitely. So I want to thank you again very much for taking time.
No, you're more than welcome. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of the show. You know, I've listened to it a lot. Some of these times here in Tokyo, just wandering around, having a good listen to the show. It's really uplifting. It's the best resource out there, I'd say, for Japanese pro wrestling news. It's absolutely unbelievable, the job that you do, Striga, and you do as well, Dylan. All the time zones, all the connections, the amount of Japanese wrestling you're able to watch, and the ability that you have to convey that to the fans and to the listeners of the show. You really do a great job. So it's a big pleasure to be on here, and continue up the good work, lads.
Man, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. That means a lot.
So yeah, this has been it, basically. As I said, the plan was to do more topics on this show, but we've been losing ourselves in Pro Wrestling Noah, and that is the great power that Pro Wrestling has.
That's a great place to lose yourself in.
Absolutely, that you just get lost in the moment, that you just get lost in one group, and there is so much to talk about, so much to digest. And we'll be definitely going to other topics on our next show, because on the Wrestle Universe, there is another big show coming up in the future, which also features Jun Akiyama, and New Japan, of course, has stuff going on too. Then there is Bodyguards, Colega Pro Wrestling, lots of stuff to dive into in one of our upcoming shows. So watch out for that. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. Check out our Twitter, twitter.com/EasternLariat, where I, from time to time, drop some big news that also from time to time gain a lot of traction. Just recently, the news of Meiko Satomura explaining her venture to NXT UK. So if you want to read up on that, check out twitter.com/EasternLariat. And so much from us. Mark, it was great to have you on. Dylan, this has been the Eastern Lariat. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.